Hello and welcome back to the PAL with Reb T, the show where we talk a Mishnah of Pirkei Avos per day with sagely commentary and practical advice to say. I'm your host, Reb T. All previous episodes and seasons are at anchor.fm/RebT, anchor.fm/REBT. We are talking 419, Dalet Yud Test with the help of Yad Avraham. We're always reachable at maximumtee@yahoo.com. Shmuel HaKatan's phrase that he would say, Shmuel HaKatan Omer, Shmuel HaKatan says, Ben Pol Oyvecha, Al Tismach. When your foe falls, when your enemy falls, do not be glad. Uvekish, Uvekush love. Uvikashlo, al yogeli becha. When he stumbles, lest your heart not be joyous. Pen yira Hashem v'rabi eina v'heshiv me'alav apo. Let your heart not be joyous, let Hashem see it, and it be displeasing in his eyes, and he return his anger from him. Talking about not being happy when your enemy falls, or when your enemy stumbles, or something happens to your enemy. We shouldn't even have enemies, I've told you before. My dad used to say that I don't have enemies, just people I like less. I like that phrase. We shouldn't have any enemies in our life. Shmuel HaKatan was called HaKatan in recognition of his exceeding humility. Alternatively, this title was to distinguish him from the prophet Shmuel Samuel. For the Gemara, Sanhedrin states regarding Shmuel HaKatan, the echo of a voice, Basco, was imparted to the sages from heaven, saying to them, there's one person among you who is deserving that God's divine presence rest upon him. But his generation does not merit this. See Rashi, although he was not granted the power of prophecy during his lifetime, he did, in fact, deliver one prophecy as he was dying to demonstrate his greatness. This explains why he was called Shmuel HaKatan, for Lesser Samuel, he was as fit for prophecy as was Samuel the prophet, was denied this power only because his generation did not merit hearing prophecies, as Yad Ramam Tosfos Yom Tov explains. So the Pasuk from Mishlei, when your foe falls, be not glad. When he stumbles, let your heart not be joyous. Let Hashem see it and be displeasing in his eyes. This is attributed to Shmuel. It's really a verse in Proverbs. The verse cautions man against deriving personal satisfaction from witnessing God's justice in action. If a man has a foe, someone with whom he has had a dispute over some worldly matter, as Mir Rav Bachya and Medrash Shmuel explains, and he harbors feelings of gladness or joy at this enemy's divinely mandated physical or spiritual suffering, as the first verse shows, he is acting as if he has made God his personal agent to fulfill his own desire of seeing his enemy fall, see Rav and Magen Avos, and this will be displeasing in his eyes. This evil of rejoicing at the fall of one's foe is compounded when the one rejoicing is no more righteous than the victim, for it could be asked, who is he to rejoice when he is deserving of the same treatment? If there is any justification for celebration over the downfall of the wicked, it is the resultant increase to God's glory when sinners are punished for their evil ways, as Rav Yonah shows. This was exemplified by King David, who testifies about himself, when his enemies were ill, my clothing was sackcloth, from Psalms. Even though his enemies showed no such compassion for him, as he later states, when I limped, they rejoiced, Meiri shows. Eov, too, despite his own suffering, never allowed himself to find solace in the sufferings of others, as he states from Eov, or if I ever rejoice at the downfall of my enemy and enthuse when misfortune befell them, as Rav Bachya Magen Avos points out. God himself demonstrated this attribute at the splitting of the sea, when he rebuked the ministering angels who wished to sing God's praises for destroying the Egyptians. My handiwork is drowning in the sea, and you wish to sing praises? As Magen Avos shows, and he returned his anger from him, the choice of a Shiv he will return, teaches that God will turn his anger from the foe directed toward the one who rejoiced at his downfall. Had it said Veshav me'alav apo, turns his anger from him, this would have simply meant that God will repress his anger toward the foe. The form of yeshiva implies his anger will be turned away and directed elsewhere, as Rav Rashi and Magen Avos explains, meaning that this is recorded in his name because he was accustomed to cite this verse, as Rashi shows, and teach it to the public, as Rav Rashi and Brahma commentary show. He felt it worthy of constant reiteration, since people generally see no harm in silently rejoicing over another's downfall, all the more so when the victim is a sinner, as Rav Yonah explains, and some add other things to it about burning anger, but anger teaching that they forgive the foe for all his sins, as Rashi Ramban commentary Rav Yonah Rav Bachya shows. This is a remarkable ruling. The mere fact that one man expresses joy at another's suffering causes God to forgive the victim's sins and raise him up once again, just to serve as a punishment for the one who rejoices, as Rav Yonah explains. Such measures are called for because the embarrassment one experiences when others rejoice over his suffering is worse than the suffering itself, as Magen Avos points out. Lastly, a point in favor of this version is that it obviates the need to justify how Shmuel could be granted the status of a Mishnah, this verse, with this addendum. He's not simply citing a verse, but expanding it to teach a novel ruling, as Magen Avos and Tosfos just explains. So in general, we shouldn't have enemies, and even if there are people who we dislike, we shouldn't see gladness, get enjoyment, or get joy from seeing them stumble and fall, but really we should want everyone to do tshuva, everyone to be on the same plane, everyone to be happy and respectful of one another, now and always. Join us next time as we talk about studying in different ages here on the PAL with Reb T, and I'm your host, Reb T.